the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 and bizradio.co.uk on Tuesday, the 21st of August, with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White, who is late back into the studio, having been wandering around making everybody a cup of coffee. I'm keeping this going until he gets sat down. I'm making everybody a cup of coffee and serving refreshments. Are you?
I am now.
Good. Welcome back.
Thanks, Paul.
That's all right. So welcome back to the show. We've got two more great guests to talk to as the show unfolds, and we've got loads of tweets and emails that we're going to read out. I've had a tweet from the lovely Kim Stevens of Caring Kent, and she says, "Good afternoon, Business Bunker. Today, my shout out is to all the drivers on the roads in Kent. Look out, because my girl's got her wheels." Mm. Happy birthday, Molly Stevens, 17 today. So happy birthday, Molly. It's a great time to have a birthday.
Yeah.
And good luck with your driving.
Happy birthday, Molly.
I've also had a tweet from the lovely folks at Venom Tech.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah, and they've got some really interesting information. You'll like this, Vicky. Yeah, you will. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you will. It says, "Hi, Paul. Please can we have a shout-out on the Business Bunker Show for our great friends, Business Insider, across the pond, that we help to find the most dangerous animals that can kill you the quickest." Yeah.
Top one is what? Did they list what the top one is?
Sorry?
Do they list what the top one is?
Well, they've put a link to the to a YouTube video, which obviously I can't read out because I can't read the link.
They specialise in spiders, I think.
Oh, no.
And last year,
they had a brilliant
Christmas present. They had tarantulas that had obviously died of old age. Mm. And they'd had them framed. And you could buy a framed tarantula to stick on your wall for 20 quid or something as a Christmas present.
Why would you do that?
They have some right evil stuff, I tell you. They've got some right killer stuff over there.
That's my phobia. Spider is my phobia.
Yeah. It's the little ones that are worse. The last time I was over there, Steve Trim, who runs it, he was showing me all these stuff. You know, and there's these Mexican red knees and tarantulas, these big hairy spiders, which are poisonous and will give you a nasty bite. And he's going, "Nah, it's that one." And there's this little thing. It's about, you know, half a millimetre across. That is deadly. Yeah. The Mexican red knee will give you a nasty bite. That'll kill you. You know.
Don't ever go to Australia, Vicky.
Do you know what? I got asked in 2015, all expenses paid for, to film a TV show out in Australia, 3 months, all expenses paid for, and it was going to be called The Deadliest Pest Down Under. And they phoned me up and they said to me, "Do you want to do it?" I said, "Can you guarantee that I'm not going to be working with spiders?" And they went, "No," and "I'm not coming." They went, "What? You're going to turn down this opportunity of a lifetime because of a spider?"
Spiders are everywhere out there.
So I didn't go. In the end, my ex went and my daughter went and they done it.
Mm. All right, okay. Yeah, but that's a bit iffy out there. You got crocodiles, you got spiders.
That would have been fine. I wouldn't have had an issue with that at all. The snakes, anything. But put me in front of a spider and I'm gone.
All right, I don't mind spiders. My biggest phobia is snakes. I can't even look at a picture. And my sister-in-law lives in Australia. She lived in Perth. And she kept inviting us out year after year after year. I thought, not a chance in hell.
He's
not going there.
Yeah. But on Facebook yesterday, there was a video of a guy on a mobility scooter going down Croydon High Street, and in one hand, he had a snake.
Really?
And everybody's going, "What is that all about?" He's just riding down Croydon High Street on a mobility scooter with a snake in one hand. Yeah. Unbelievable. Some weird people about. What you got, Martin?
Well, we've had an email from a chap called, I assume it's a chap, called Raphael. Do you know Raphael?
Raphael dos Santos, yeah.
Well, there we are. So it says, "Hello, Paul and Martin." He forgot that bit, but it is there. "I have been involved in a campaign to raise awareness about entrepreneurs' mental health. Anxiety and depression are common amongst entrepreneurs, but hardly spoken about. Meditation is one of the tools you can use to keep your mind relaxed and your thoughts under control. So through his Modern Mystery School, he's offering free meditation lessons. And he wants to share that with everybody. So you can check out those sessions, where they are and when they are, on Eventbrite. So if you look up Modern Mystery School slash EU, Hopefully you'll find a session near you that might be happening and that you might want to attend. Now, Vicky, I know you're involved with MenCap as well, aren't you?
Yeah, Bromley MenCap, yeah.
So what do you do for that? Is that a kind of fundraising thing that you're involved
so,
with?
Yeah, so as my business, I chose a local charity, and it was Bromley MenCap. And the reason why I chose that is because my own son has learning difficulties. So they support people with learning difficulties. And so, yeah, so this year alone, I walked on fire for them. They asked me to do it last year, and I went, yeah, I'll do it, it's not a problem. And then when it actually came to it, I was like, oh, my God, I'm actually going to be walking on fire. I could actually burn my feet. but it is actually mind over matter.
Right.
And I knew that anyway, because I just think with health and safety regulations nowadays, you're not going to be able to walk on fire and burn your feet. They're just not going to allow that to happen. So I was really quite, I had a lot of generous donations, and I raised nearly £900 for them. Brilliant. Alone, and it was amazing. And then throughout August, I always donate 10% of my wasp sales goes to Bromley MenCap.
Fantastic. Well done, you. But I think it's a lonely business, running a business, as we all know. Mm. Can be very lonely at times.
Lonely at the top.
So yeah, I mean, sometimes we all need a bit of support, and Raphael
always.
Raphael sounds like he's there to help.
That's a really good idea, actually. I wish I would have had something like that in place when I was at my lowest point, actually. So that
Absolutely.
Would be really good.
Good. So you'll find all of that on Eventbrite, Modern Mystery School.
Fantastic. There's the launch of Space Co-working in Rye. And they've got a networking event to launch it. So come along to the launch event to see and hear about the new flexible working business space that's coming along at co-working in Rye. The networking event is taking place on September the 13th at 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. And it's at the Old Cinema in Fish Market Road, Rye. For details of your free ticket, eventbrite.com, Space Co-working Networking Event is where you want to go.
I'm going to stick with charity.
Are you?
So our very good friends at SNS Solicitors at Denning House in Maidstone.
Yep.
So that'll be John, Gareth, Danielle, and I think there's Richard, and I think they've had another new lady join them recently.
Okay.
They're holding a Macmillan Cancer Care coffee morning, and it's actually on the morning of the 20th of September at their offices in Maidstone from about 10:30. And I went to the last one. And I have to say, they had a wonderful selection of cakes and naughty kind of things to eat as well.
Did they?
So, and there was some great networking. I think there was about 25
businesses. But you went for the cakes,
yeah, obviously. Yeah. And the fundraising, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, again, you'll find all of the details for that on the community page of Supply My Business.
Okay. I'm going to read one more tweet, and then we're going to tick to our next guest, the lovely Jo James. We've had a tweet from the Business Diaries. Can we have a shout-out, please? Or a shout-out. Go on, then. How about this for an announcement? We have Paul McCartney sharing a story at the Business Diaries on the 13th of September. Storytelling. Come and join us, and that's at the Medway Innovation Centre. The Business Diaries is a fantastic event. It really is good. I don't think it is the Paul McCartney. I think it is a Paul McCartney.
It is.
Yeah.
He is Paul McCartney.
He is. I know he is Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Vicky and I know him very well.
Yeah. And you can follow him on the Twitter at @Macca_63.
Yeah,
but he's one of the storytellers.
He often sings to us.
Yeah. The Business Diaries is a networking event that takes place frequently at the Innovation Centre at Medway and also in Tunbridge Wells, where they have five speakers who tell a personal story about something to do with them at work, but it's not your normal story of business. Yeah, so it's not about their business. It's normally a personal thing that happened. I've been to every single one of the events. I've been about five now, and the range of stories I've heard have been absolutely fabulous. Some have made you cry, literally made you cry. Some have made you laugh out loud and fall about on the floor. Some have just been astounding. Some, they're just, the range of stories has been unbelievable from local business people. I highly recommend going. It's a fantastic evening. And they got Paul McCartney at the next one.
Brilliant.
13th of September. Go along.
Will he be taking requests?
Yeah, I'm sure he will. Yeah. Yeah.
We need to talk to Joe.
Yeah, we do. We need to introduce some sense and sensibility to this rubbish. So why don't you introduce Joe?
Well, it's my great pleasure to introduce the wonderful public servant, long-serving public servant, probably one of Kent's longest public servants, Joe James, Chief Executive of Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce.
Absolutely. Joe, welcome to the show. It's been a while, hasn't it? It's been a while since you were last on.
Yeah, it certainly is. Yeah, I think you were up in
Burmarsh, Wade. Yeah, we were. We were at Hagelands the last time you were on.
And I got to see all the nice
llamas and Fred the porcupine and all that stuff. Yeah,
alpacas.
And alpacas. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. So it's quite a while since you were last on. So it's remiss of us not to have invited you back sooner. But you're here now, and that's the main thing. Welcome back, and thank you for joining us. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about the Kent and Victor Chamber, just to start off with? Although most of us know, because you've been around a while now.
Thanks.
Not you, the chamber.
And actually, I too have been married far too long. The chamber. Kentin Victor Chamber of Commerce is an accredited chamber to the British Chamber of Commerce. So we're a county-wide organisation, part of a national and an international organisation, and we provide support for business. So whether that's from networking. We've heard there's sort of an abundance of networking out there. We also do networking. We do business advice, business information. We do help businesses with marketing through to helping businesses who want to export. So it's literally helping all areas of business.
It's a whole range of support services.
Yeah, a whole host of services that we do.
Yeah,
as well as running Kent's longest running expos.
Yes,
the B2Bs.
We certainly, they've been running, I don't know if it's 32 or 33 years.
I think you're in your 33rd year now, which is incredible, isn't it?
Well, I think if you think that, should I admit this on air, but actually I've been involved in at least 30 of those.
Wow.
That's so sad, isn't it?
And you don't look a day older than 25,
I may say so. I'm so glad that actually this is radio, because I'll agree with you.
So I'm really interested because all of us actually in the room here, apart from Paul, are exhibiting at the Medway B2B. On the 20th of September.
He'll be visiting.
I'm interested to know how it started, really. I mean, and why it started.
Say it started 30-plus years ago now.
They can't remember, mate. It's too long ago.
No, I can remember when it started. It was back in those days, we were just the Ashford Chamber, so we weren't a county-wide organisation. That's sort of a whole nother story, how we've sort of gone from Ashford to a county-wide organisation. And it was just for a few businesses getting together. And I remember the first one I went to, I think it was probably about the second one that I went to, and it was, I think it was in the Elwick Club in Ashford Town Centre. And I think we had about 10 to 12 businesses there, and we had about 30 members come and have a look during the day. And we thought that was really successful. But as just the chamber's grown, so the event's grown. And, I like to look at it now. It's actually, it's a really good business day out.
It's a great investment in time, isn't it, in your business, to actually go and meet other businesses and make connections and hopefully, do business at some point.
I think it's sometimes it's good to get out of your business and to actually learn from others as well. And I think that's the nice way that they've evolved, because you get to hear from others, all the different keynote speakers. You get some inspirational speakers. And like we've got AC Gotham, so we've got Carol Ford, the commercial director.
So they're a big agricultural business, aren't they, I believe? What's their core business?
Well, they're the largest producer in the UK of apples and pears. Mm. And I think they produce something like 250 million a year.
Wow.
But actually, they started from really humble beginnings. So it's going to be really nice to actually learn, how their business grew from sort of nothing to one of the largest producers in the UK. Mm. And actually, they're going to talk about some of the pitfalls they went through, some of the successes, how they overcome problems on the website.
And that'll be really interesting, because everybody talks about digital these days, but actually there's still some really successful businesses out there selling apples and pears.
Stuff. Yeah. Stuff that they've always sold.
So,
But if you think that, if you look at digital, because we can talk in a minute, we've got digital speakers there. But when you look at digital and AI and everything else, you just say apples and pears. Mm. You think of them on the trees. Mm. But actually, if you have a look at the technology that's involved from getting them to those trees, to getting them pre-packed and in a box and off to the supermarket, it's just amazing.
Absolutely. I was just about to say something similar, that, one of the great things about agriculture and the way it is, for instance, with apples now, a lot of apples are vacuumed off of trees. They're no longer picked. They have machines that literally vacuum them off the trees.
Well, it's had to evolve, hasn't it?
I mean, like every other business, even though it's a thousands of years old growing food, it has to adapt just like every other business and incorporate new technology and new ways of doing things. And agriculture has not been slow in doing that. You know, farmers are at the leading edge of a lot of technology.
It's now, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's just a lot of technology for picking and packing and taking things off of trees.
Well, that would be really interesting to hear about.
But one of the interesting things about things like the B2B, with your comment about digital, is so many of us do our marketing and are contacted via the various social media platforms and all the rest of it. It is nice now and again just to go and meet people actually for real in face-to-face and just have a chat over a cup of tea.
I always think it's great. We do live in a technological world. There's no getting away from that. I mean, and I remember years ago, back at the Chamber, that I used to get a huge, great big post folder every morning, masses of it, and I used to get a few emails. You know, now it's the other way around. I'm lucky if I get one bit of post a day, and you can guarantee that's a piece of rubbish. That'll go straight. I was going to say crap. That's just what it is, and it will go with the bin.
And I happen to know you read your emails because you replied to my email last week, which amazed me. And I thought, I won't chance my luck by saying thank you for replying to my email. So I didn't.
But you didn't feel so. I get no posts now. But actually, I need an inbox the size of China because I must get about 300 emails a day. So actually, that in itself is a bit of a problem because it's so easy just to communicate with people. Actually, you go on holiday for 2 weeks and it takes you so long to catch up. And my biggest bugbear with emails, my biggest one is if you're in a group and if somebody puts something out and everybody replies all.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Absolutely mad. But, you know, we do live in a digital world now, and actually there is that's good, and that's the way we're going. But actually you cannot beat the face-to-face.
I totally agree. And I think for me, when it comes to marketing, particularly at a kind of small business level, you know, small businesses haven't got the luxury of being a known brand in the marketplace. So, you know, if you're a Unilever or, you know, and you own a brand like Persil or Dove or Shaw or whatever it happens to be, or Audi or VW, all you need to do really is stick your latest TV ad for your latest model, you know, on prime time, and people will go out and buy it, basically. It's as simple as that. But if you're a small business owner, you know, like Vicky, you know, like myself, obviously you haven't got that luxury. Nobody really knows who you are. And the only way people are going to find out who you are is by you engaging with them directly. And so for me, one of the kind of the key benefits and kind of points really of being involved in something like the B2B is that people can see me. And, you know, they can see us as a business.
You're not a faceless company.
Exactly. Yeah. And
they can see him. They could hardly miss him, really, could they?
In the first instance, at a very basic level, you know, they'll be introduced to us because they won't have seen us necessarily on Twitter or LinkedIn or wherever else because they don't happen to be doing business in that space.
People buy from people. They have done since.
Exactly.
It's all about relationships.
It is.
But that said, there's place for both because, you know, if you just purely go down the face-to-face route, you're going to be missing out so much. So it's ensuring you have that mix. And
it's the balance. It's getting the right balance. And I absolutely love networking. And I love meeting new people, love chatting to them, building up the friendships with them, you know, feeding off of them, what they're doing in their business. There's so many businesses that I've learnt about that I never would have known about before. So, yeah.
But you can only do so much of it. I mean, I think, you know, Joe's point is totally valid. You know, you can't be out networking 7 days a week, you know, it's at 5 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't work like that.
If you look at social media and you look at Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, they're just so big now and it's such a big space. How do you get your little self,
right,
you know, us, all of us individually, how do we get ourselves heard in this really big arena? If I go back to the B2B, we've got some giant talks by Sleeping Giant Media, and that's one of the things Luke Quilter's going to be looking at. You know, how can you actually, you know, get yourself noticed on social media? So, you know, it's great social media. It's quick, it's easy. But actually, I'm going to use that word again for the second time today. People, because it is so quick and easy, they're continually on there and they're just putting crap.
Well, and for a lot of people, it's a kind of tick in the box exercise.
For me, Twitter works as a business tool really, really well. But the amount of effort you have to put into it is huge. You have to put a huge amount of effort in. The lifespan of a tweet is about 17 seconds. Yeah. And then it's gone. Yeah. So if you tweet three times a day, nobody is going to see it. No one. Mm. Not a thing. Yeah. You've got to tweet 1,700 times a day to even make an impact. And that's the big issue, is that it's actually incredibly time consuming. If you put the time in, it works. But it's not a simple thing, and so many people don't have the time to do that.
But at because, small business
because
level,
you're right. But Joe's absolutely right. You know, it's just such a big, overpowering kind of platform now, because you have billions of people on
it. And a lot of people get caught up in that, and they think that's what they need to be doing, and that's where they spend 100% of their time. Mm. Whereas, you know, we all have, if we think about it, an extended business network.
Mm. Yep.
But what very few people do is actually engage with that network one-on-one. Mm. And actually kind of leverage that network, you know, for the benefit of their business. In other words, people are rubbish at having conversations. Mm. And the beauty of the B2B is it's that kind of face-to-face environment where, you know, unless you're there to have a conversation with somebody, you're wasting your time. Mm. And, you know, the value as an exhibitor is in talking to the other exhibitors, for example, on the day, and actually meeting people you've never met before and striking up a relationship.
Yeah, that's what I like about exhibitions. You know, where are you going to in one day have the opportunity to meet? And I think they're a nice size, because they're, you know, there are other like Chem Vision out there. I mean, I think that's a fantastic event, and as a chamber, you know, we exhibit there every year, but it's a huge, great event, absolutely huge, great event. So sometimes you're going down the aisles and running the gauntlet, thing. I'm not going to look at you because, sorry, I can't stop. Mm. But our B2Bs, there's around about 60, 65 exhibitors. It's just the right size that actually during the day you can get to know, you can get to everybody. And the one thing I always say about, you know, whether it be an exhibition or whether it's one of the, you know, loads of networking that we can all go to, is actually, it's your approach to it, because actually, never go to a networking event, never go to a B2B expecting to get business there and then.
Yeah, you know, to sell, in other words.
Yeah, it's a pipeline. It's a pipeline.
It is. And I always think that if you're going to go to a networking event, you know, get to know people and get them to know you, because I always think networking is outside of the room. You know, I'll talk with you. We might get on really well. You might not want my service, but later on down the road, you'll be talking with someone. Say, "Oh, I remember Jo. She might be able to help."
Yeah, exactly.
So always sort of make the most of everybody who's there. Really.
And I don't like the ones where you go to networking and you've got those networkers that don't not understand how to network properly, and they just shove their business cards in your face before you've even spoken to them.
Yeah.
And straight away, I'll take it. I'll put it in my pocket, and then it'll go straight in the bin.
I think that's one of the kind of inherent problems with the small business space generally. You know, from my point of view, there are far too many sellers out there and not enough buyers, if you like.
We're incredibly bad at selling in this country anyway, and most small businesses don't like the process of selling, but they therefore do it really badly. It's as Vicky said, you know, people rush up to you, try and do a quick sale, you know, do you want to buy this? It's pointless. If you think about like Vicky's business, for instance, yeah, unless you're me, most people don't have an infestation most of the time, but they meet Vicky. In 6 months' time, they find a wasp nest in their garage. They go, "It was the lovely lady I met at a B2B. What was her name? Vicky, that was her name. I'll ring her."
I'll dress up as a ladybird, so they'll
They'll remember you.
That's why I'll do it, because I'm being memorable.
They don't. But my point is, they don't need your service at the point that they meet you. Yeah?
What you're doing in any networking event is that you are making your sales force. You are developing your own sales force, so that in 6 months' time, someone will remember me. You know, because they've got a wasp nest and they think, "Oh, I met that ladybug."
Right. In other words, so you've got to be prepared to invest in being at the expo.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I always say, I like to think of them as a great business day out. And that's, I think, how you should approach it. And I think any business, regarding of, you know, their logo, their strap lines, whatever it is, actually the biggest thing to promote their business is themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. shortly.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Chamber run, as well as these events, these formal exhibitions, you run loads of networking events as well, don't you? You know, you've got the Muesli Mafia, are you still doing the after-hours clubs and things
yes,
like that?
Yes.
So there's loads of opportunities.
We had a lunch last week, I think, as well, that somebody
yeah,
I know
that
was
that. Yes, mm-hmm. We certainly did. We do about 120 events.
Mm, yeah.
I think we do about 63 events mm-hmm. a year, so we do about 120.
Sorry to rush you, but we're kind of fast running out of time. We've got another guest to talk to, and I just want to make reference to the fact that the Chamber also run the Kent Hub.
Kenton Medway Growth Hub.
The Kenton Medway yeah. Growth Hub. Do you just want to give us a quick overview of that, please, as well, Jo? Because that's an important facility yes. that you have.
Yeah, the Kenton Medway Growth Hub. It's a government-funded project that we've got. Mm. And it's basically a website, kentonmedwaygrowthhub.org. And it's the one place where you can go to get all of the publicly funded support available to business, whether you want to know advice about starting a business, if you want to see a business advisor, if you want advice on grants, loans and funding. And also we have products that we run through it, so businesses can get 12 hours of free business support through it. They can get access to interest-free loans. So it's literally the one-stop shop, and I hate that expression, but it is the one-stop shop.
It is, where
you can find out every government-funded support that's available to business.
Locally, that's the key point, because it's always existed, but it was under Gov, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
The Gov website. And you go on there looking for a grant in your area, and then you'd have to sift through 70 pages of, you know, East Lothian and, you know, Stirlingshire and, you know, before you'd even, and of course you'd lose the will to live. So I think there's about 60 growth hubs in the UK.
Yeah, there's one attached to each local enterprise partnership. But if you go on to the Kent and Medway one, there is a map of Kent, and you can just go to your area and actually it will give you everything that's just available to, whether you're based in Ashford, Dartford or Canterbury.
Well, without having to plough through 70 pages of everybody else's grant funding that's available.
Fantastic. So that's kentonmedwaygrowthhub.org. So do check that out. Have a look at the site. That's the easiest way, isn't it?
We didn't even get a chance to talk about our pre-show Brexit conversation, Lower Thames Crossing, Operation Stack. Jay's going to have to come on again.
I told you, we've only got 2 hours. So
Jay, you're coming on again.
Yeah. All right, I will.
Yeah. So for the moment, Jo James, Chief Executive of the Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. And we will get you back on because there is loads of other stuff to talk about.
And you can come and meet Jo at the B2B on the 20th of September.
Yeah.
At Kent_B2B on the Twitter.
Yep.
And I think the website is, I don't know, Kent B2B, I think.
Kent-B2B.co.uk.
There you go.
There you go. It's good that someone's on the board.
And it's free to attend.
Absolutely.
Right.
Be there. What's your stand number?
112113. So we've got a bit of a monster because there's three of us. So
are you on the same stand?
I'm not there on the planet, sorry.
Oh, no, you said you weren't, are you?
For September. We've got for September. Yeah.
But Julian's going to be there. You've got your own stand?
Planning to, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Cool. Good. Be there. Thank you, Jo.
Okay.
We've got loads of tweets coming in. In fact, Diane Dupree of Invicta IP tweeted, she said, can I have a business mug shout out? I'm listening in. My partner, Paul Kemp, is busily working away while I'm enjoying listening to your show and your company. And then she's also posted the fact, the reference I made about you treading grapes earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And she posted a picture of her treading grapes some years ago.
Lovely.
So thank you for that, Diane. Yeah. That's a real pleasure to get your tweet. I've had 90 more tweets, by the way. So I'm not going to be able to read them all. So if you did tweet, I'm really sorry. Well, but I'm going to try and read some
I'm going to read one out.
Go for
and
it.
And I'm going to give my own event a plug. In fact, it's not just my event.
Have you tweeted yourself then? Is that what happened?
No. But, I mean, I'm a massive believer in collaboration as well, as we all are.
Mm.
Because it just makes so much sense. And that's why we're exhibiting with Kent Space and Aluxa at the B2B. It just makes sense to do it that way.
Mm.
So we've got together with Jarman Solicitors, who are, again, another chamber member. BBN, a networking group that we go to every other Thursday at Dartford. Metro Bank, another Supply My Business member and ourselves, and we're running an after-hours networking at Dartford Football Club on the 13th of September. Fantastic. And I know Julian, in fact, you guys both went to the last one.
And I'm on this one. I'm going to this one as well.
So we had about 100 really businesses at the last one, and there's a buffet included as well. So we'd love to see you there. Again, community page on Supply My Business. It's not free, this one.
Oh,
no, you've got to pay for your buffet.
Do you?
Yeah.
How much is it then?
£10.
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to rethink.
But it's, your sandwiches.
It's also on Eventbrite, so you can book on there. So we'd love to see you. It's Thursday, the 13th of September at 6 o'clock.
Thank you for that. I had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson. I'm catching up with the tweets now. So this was a little while back. Tracy has got a great interview with Vicky, the Ladybug FPC. Not seen any pics today. Are you dressed up, Vicky? Well, she is dressed up, but just not as a ladybug.
Yeah. Just got my branded colours on, but I'm not dressed up
Tracy,
as a ladybug.
Tracy, you missed my tweet.
Yeah. I've had a tweet from Sally Laker, the lovely Sally Laker, that says, hello from the Lakers. She says, Sally is well known in Kent as Sally for Cakes. Mm. She makes the most amazing cakes.
Nice. Yes.
And her husband, Glenn, is a screenwriter and scriptwriter and writes the scripts for things like Holby City and Vera and many other.
Well, he's just got a job.
Yep.
Working on the Indian hospital drama, Good Karma Hospital.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
So he's going to be helping to write the next series of that. And he also did the Helen Mirren Prime Suspect.
He did.
Kind of retro remake.
He did indeed.
Yeah. The prequel.
He basically writes most of the stuff on television these days. Yeah.
And they're amazing shows, I have to say. What's your favourite cake, Martin?
Oh, my God.
Come on.
A favourite what?
Cake.
Cake.
Yeah, what's your favourite cake?
All cake.
Yeah, well, I do, but there must be
custard donuts.
No, mine are jam donuts, and I like to do the challenge where you don't lick your lips.
Oh, right, okay.
But my actual favourite cake is a lemon drizzle cake.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, I love that.
Because I feel healthy then, because it's lemon.
Yes.
I like angel cake.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Angel I love angel cake.
I remember at school I used to have chocolate custard and chocolate sponge.
Oh, I like that.
Oh.
Sally, you've just had your cue. We need cake, please, next time. Yeah. Cake. Lots of cake.
I'm trying to wing my way through this because we need to talk to Julian as well.
And we're
fast running out of time, but I've got a tweet from Tenterton Twilight. Hi, Vanilla Web and the Bits of Miss Bunker Show. Much excitement. Can we have a shout-out, please? I'm busy preparing for a super event called Public Health England. It's about delivering inclusive growth for supported employment in September in Essex, where I'll be speaking with the Kent team. Basically, Tenterton Twilight are public toilet cleaners, effectively, and they do a fantastic job. They actually clean the toilets where I live in Tenterton and where I consume my kebabs if it's raining.
It used to.
Yeah, yeah.
When it was single.
The kebab vans next to the toilets there, and if it's raining, they were so clean, I could eat my kebabs in there. Yeah. But we introduced Laura and the team to the Kent Supported Employment Group, who find work for people with disabilities and supported needs, and she hired a bunch of guys, two of whom won national awards in the first year they worked for her, and she's going to speak at an event in England about the efficacy of hiring people with supporting needs. So I needed to read that out.
The what? Sorry?
The efficacy.
Efficacy. Well done.
That's a big word, isn't it? You can look it up.
Can you spell it?
Yes, I can.
Yes, I can. But I don't want to because I want to talk to
Julian. Come on, let's talk to Julian.
Why don't you introduce him?
Right, Julian. Great to have you on the show. Brilliant. Now, am I right in thinking you, InExpress, are a global shipping company?
So, it's a franchise.
Right.
Based in the UK. It started in the UK about 20 years ago. But now it's got operations in the US and Australia and also growing into Europe as well. So, I think it's in about 15 countries so far.
Right. And you own a franchise in and around Ashford and Canterbury. It's quite a large geography, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So, franchises, as you probably know, are done on postcode areas. Mm-hmm. So, I look after ME and CT as the postcode areas.
Right.
So, kind of North Kent.
Okay.
Sort of Rochester to Ramsgate, as I call it.
Right.
Okay.
So, tell us, what does a shipping company actually do? What problems do you solve for businesses in and around your geography?
Absolutely. So, as we all know, when you've sent things out, that there's not a lot of customer care in the courier business these days.
Can I quickly tell you a story because it made me
emotional.
No, about your
stories are never quick.
Yeah, about delivery companies. Somebody, an American on Twitter the other day posted a thing, and he said, Do you, when you were kids in England, did you play a game when you knocked on someone's door and ran away?
Yes.
And everybody said, yeah. And they said, what did you call it? And somebody posted Hermes Delivery.
That's really good.
Yeah.
It's so appropriate as well.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So essentially, the reason that we exist is because there isn't much customer care in the courier business.
Yeah. Yeah.
So because we don't carry anything, we don't actually handle any goods, but we partner with a lot of people like DHL, UK Mail, UPS, TNT, FedEx, all these sort of guys, as well as the freight hauliers.
Mm.
And it's about taking the stress and the hassle out of couriers and shipping for small businesses.
Right.
Because all small businesses are very focused on what they're doing, and they haven't really got time to sit on the phone chasing up where the miscollection is or a lost parcel or whatever. So it's really about and also matching the right service up, because each courier business is a bit different. Some are good at big things, some are good at small things, some are good at losing things. And it's a question of finding kind of the right solution for each customer.
Mm. Now, the difference with you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're, and I'm going to borrow someone else's kind of strap line, the small enough to kind of care kind of strap line.
Yeah.
The difference with you is, you know, businesses that are kind of operating at below a certain threshold won't have the benefit of having a personal relationship with somebody that comes to their office and actually says, hi, I'm Julian, I'm just here to pick up all your packages today.
Yeah, exactly. We've been talking about digital a lot, and of course it's all online. But this is face-to-face service. This is what it's all about, and it's something that really is lacking in the industry today. So,
so if I've got a particularly fragile Ming vase, for example, that I want shipping across Ming vase.
Oh, Ming vase.
That I want shipping across to Margate from my office in Ashford.
Exactly.
When you arrive, I can say, Julian, for heaven's sake, don't break this Ming vase in the back of your truck today, because...
No, we'd have a discussion about packaging. That's
exactly.
We'd have a discussion
right.
about, because it's
just being serious for a moment. It is incredibly important. One of the things that's going wrong big time that people don't seem to understand with big organisations is they are now no longer able to dominate the markets they were in, because we're all really fed up with being dealt with by big faceless organisations who have operations that says computer say no. And we've just had enough of it. So more and more locally based businesses in a global environment, but that are providing face-to-face services. It's like Agilis, our mobile phone providers. I can actually ring them and speak to a human being. I can't do that at any of the big mobile phone providers. They don't want to know. When you get through to their customer service and they go, oh, I don't know, you know, the customer, you know, computer say, no, sorry, mate, you know, you've got a contract and that's, you know.
But we had this conversation, didn't we, on the phone the other week.
Mm.
And, you know, we both agreed that actually people want to know what they're buying.
Yeah.
And when you buy something off a large internet shopping website, and, you know, we won't mention any names because we all know who they are.
Mm.
Quite often, you know, you get the product you've ordered and you've had a little kind of, you know, photo online, but you don't actually really know what you've ordered until it actually arrives.
Well, I told you, I think, about a funny one I had with that. We ordered something, it arrived. It wasn't anything like it looked in there. So we contacted them and said, this isn't what it was. And they went, oh, we'll chuck it away then. And they refunded the money.
Yeah.
They didn't even want the product back.
So there's no value to it. There's no value to it. So the difference with what you do is, regardless of how kind of big or small you are, you will get a personal service where somebody actually discusses your needs directly with you and actually delivers the product or service that they're looking for.
And actually, where we found more success is starting with really small businesses who are just getting going, startups, and actually growing with them as well. So as we grow, they grow. Because if you take on too much work at once, you know, it gets a bit overpowering.
Absolutely.
So actually, we've found that starting small and growing with our customers has been quite successful for us.
Julian, in your business in Express, do you have delivery vans and trucks and lorries?
So we actually don't handle the product ourselves.
Right.
So we'll work with, because the franchise, there's 90 of us in the UK and there's about 150 globally.
Yeah.
So we spend big amounts of money with the carriers, and we get some really good discounts.
Okay.
So we also pass on those discounts. So as well as the personal service and a nice little online platform for booking, you get some great prices as well that you
So if I called you a logistics management company, would that be fairly fair?
It's kind of a consultant, shipping consultancy. But it's also the customer care. So you can pick up the phone at any time of the day or night. My wife's even been known to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning calling Australia and trying to arrange pickups of...
But will I see the same person, according to whatever my kind of pickup and delivery schedule is? I'll be able to build a rapport. It'll always be Jim or Sue that comes and collects my packages, providing they're with the business still.
So we'd find the right courier, and what you find is that the couriers have routes, so you usually build up a relationship with a guy who's driving that route, and we get to know them all over time as well. And the other nice thing is that we've often got their mobile phone number, so if things do go wrong, we can go around the back door and find out what's going on. So the customers don't have to stress about it, really. They just say, we've got a problem, and we sort it out for them. So, seems to work quite
I mean, we had a really interesting conversation with Julian and Kent Space recently, actually. And because I wanted to introduce Julian to Sue, who's the kind of director of operations. And I said, you know, what kind of courier services do you offer member businesses that are resident on site at your kind of office facilities? She said, well, we don't do it because nobody asks us for it. And I said, well, perhaps if you actually had that available as a kind of a service offering, people might ask you for it.
Yes, and actually other people do. You know, there are a number of companies that do building management services and managed offices, and actually it's an added value service. So as well as the post, you've got courier and parcels.
So that, again, going back to what we were saying earlier on, just about people having the time to have a conversation about business meant that, you know, Sue's now got a potential new product or service that she can monetize. Julian's got a new client that he might not have otherwise had because they've never offered this before. And all of that's come about through a very simple conversation that I think took 5 minutes at a B2B, funnily enough, Joe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's how business is done.
Exactly. So,
Very good.
So how long have you operated the franchise, Junior?
So we've been running about 18 months now. We're kind of in that startup phase.
So what was your background? What drew you into doing this?
Yeah, interesting. So... really, sales and marketing is my background, and we lived overseas for about 15 years.
Okay.
So we're in Dubai, in the Middle East, completely different industry. I was renting generators to the Arabs and the Africans and people in Asia. So, but again, it was a very customer service driven type business.
Okay.
And then, of course, kids grow up and need to go to university and pass A levels and that sort of stuff. So we came home. And it's interesting, actually, in that sort of 15-year period when we weren't in the country, how the sort of industrial base and the commercial base of this country has changed, really. Very significant.
Being involved in it, you don't notice that so much.
No.
Coming back, you certainly do. The pace of change has been enormous, and it's had a profound effect on everything we're doing. Absolutely.
It has, yeah. And I've got a sort of an engineering background, so a lot of the engineering companies that I would have normally gone back to work for either weren't here or downsized or moved over.
Or changed.
Or changed in some way, absolutely So we also got to that stage of life, we thought it'd be fun to start our own business, you know, as you said, everyone should have a go at it.
Why not? Go for it,
Gosh, what an experience that's been. And, so we looked around at a whole bunch of different things, and I think also looking at, we were talking about the changing high street and people buying online and so on, and that's a big trend that's happening. So we looked at a number of things, and e-commerce, obviously people using couriers is one of the things that struck us as being a big rising trend for the coming years. So that's how we focused in on the courier business.
Absolutely. It's interesting, we were talking about retail earlier as well, some of the things that people don't realise, you know, with conventional small retail stores being outcompeted by internet sales and other things. But of course, one of the big things is that people say, oh, you know, we're losing jobs in retail. We are. But you've gained five times as many in delivery and deliveries and logistics and white van drivers and van sales are the only things that are holding up in the car business, you know, because of fiasco over diesel. New car sales have dropped off, but van sales are up 15% year on year already.
Yeah, as our packaging sales, interesting enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, cardboard and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we should start a campaign after today about everybody should have a go at starting their own business.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be good, wouldn't it?
If I started for the Chamber, I run my own business.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how I first started. So I think we should, after today, start a campaign.
Yeah.
Everybody should get out there and start running their own business.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I was listening to the radio on the way here, and Ian Duncan Smith, who was on Radio 4, and he was talking about the fact that he'd had a job, and so many politicians actually haven't run a business and hadn't sort of been an employee in that sort of way.
And it's so obvious when you see some of the things they come out with. You think, you've never run a business, otherwise you'd know you shouldn't do that. That's just daft.
Absolutely right.
Which is why I'm so pleased that our local MP from Rochester, Kelly Tolhurst, has been appointed as Minister for Small Businesses, because she is one of the few people in the House of Commons that has experience of running a small business.
Mm, right.
She runs her own small business and has done for many years. Not that she's that old, but she has, and she really knows what she's talking about. And I think that's really good.
But I think the reality is that's already happening. I mean, if you look at the kind of the we're at the lowest level of unemployment
ever
that we've ever been.
Ever.
Yeah. So we're at pretty much full employment now.
Do you want
the vast
stats?
Majority? Of, no, let's, well, I mean, we know it's there, but the reality is the vast majority of those people have taken themselves off. The company payroll, as it were, because they're just so fed up with, you know, a lack of kind of job security. They want flexible working hours. 6%, I've just seen published on the BBC website today, of employees now, only 6% work a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting with the latest stats is actually is the proportion of the increase, substantial increase of women setting up their own business now.
Yeah.
That's been on the rise for the last 4 years.
Absolutely.
And substantially in the past 12 months. So, you know, all done fantastic jobs like you're thinking.
Yeah. But what we've got to do is help businesses be better businesses from the outset.
Yeah, definitely.
And Jo is involved in a program that she mentioned, some of the kind of publicly funded schemes that you roll out, called Startup Loans.
Mm.
And the beauty of Startup Loans is, you know, if you want to apply for a Startup Loan and you want to secure funding, you have to be able to demonstrate a credible business plan.
Mm. Absolutely.
But actually, they'll put the business advisors in with you before you've kind of started your business to help you go through that process, so that you've got the best possible chance of succeeding when you do start your business. And that's what we need to do more of. It's too easy to start a business and fail.
Yeah, everybody who looks at starting a business should just come to the Chamber first.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Julian, if people want to find out about InExpress in Canterbury area, in the ME and CT postcodes, how do they do that?
Okay, so email is the first one, julian.ford@inexpress.com. That's INXPRESS.com. We've got a Twitter, which is @InExpressInVicta. And the website is www.inexpress.com.
Fantastic. Julian, thank you so much for that. Sorry to rush you. We have run out of time. It always happens with Martin because he just goes on.
We've got 7 minutes left.
No, you haven't.
And anyway, Tracy Ferguson was listening into this conversation, and just to back up everything Julian said, in my regional manager days, I remember the lack of care with some customer deliveries. Often parcels were not secured in the vans and thrown into loading bays. Mm. Huge impact in costs and ultimately productivity when items are damaged and, worst of all, poor quality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've had 112 more tweets, and I'm afraid I can't read them all out. I've got a few. Aethel Bray have tweeted, Vanilla Web, is it birthday week? Have fun and enjoy. Don't look a day over 21. Yeah, okay. And hang
don't,
on to
don't
the
Don't bother coming to the barbecue.
Yeah, yeah. No big news for this week for the shout-out. Slope off summer afternoon. Going to see Mr. Cruise in Mission Impossible. Rock and Roll Tuesday, they say. We've had loads of tweets that are on the theme of birthday cakes exploding into balls of flame with references to my great age and how many candles I will have on my cake. I really don't care. I'm 63 tomorrow. I really don't care. That's not fine.
Was that candles or cockroaches? Sorry, on your cake? Sorry.
Why would I have cockroaches on my cake?
That's about the one pest you haven't mentioned that you've got at your house today.
I haven't got any, that's why.
Well, you may not know yet.
I haven't seen a cockroach. No, the rats ate them all.
Okay.
They say age is just a number, but those candles do get quite hot, though.
Yeah.
I'm sending Vicky round a day before
Yeah. I need more than a day to get rid of what he's got.
I arrive. Just check the place out. I think you need an audit, a health and safety certificate.
Yeah, I think you need to get environmental health round. Close it down.
Absolutely. I need to tell you about the Business Bunker Extra Show on Friday at 11 o'clock here on channelradio.co.uk/2. Amanda Flanders is the presenter of the Business Bunker Extra Show. And this week, her co-host and guest is security expert Mr. Richard Bell of 10 Intelligence. And they have a security and cyber special on the show this week. So do tune in for that this Friday at 11 a.m. Here on Channel Radio. That's the Business Bunker Extra Show. I need to tell you about a couple of things that are happening as well. In line with what we were just talking about workers and stuff like that, there are 829,000 unfilled jobs in the UK at the moment. We run a thing in conjunction with the Federation of Small Business and Jobs in Kent called the 3030. It's a free programme that we take into schools in Kent and Medway. And we're helping to bridge the gap between school and business. And we ask business owners and managers to join us for a couple of hours in a school talking about the world of work to A-level students. The next event we have is at the Wilmington Academy. It's up in your neck of the woods. It's in Bexley. Well, it's in Wilmington, around the corner from Bexley. And that's on the 5th of September. And then on the 21st of September, we're at the Rootham School. So they're the next two events that are coming up. If you want to find out about the events and to book a free place on there, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30, find out about it. But basically, it's great fun. We take 30 businesses into a school and talk to students about the world of work. So do join in with that if you can. We'd love to see you there. But we've reached the end of another show. I want to say a massive thank you to today's guests, the lovely Vicky Sims from Ladybug, Joe James, Chief Executive of Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce, and Julian Ford of InExpress Canterbury and East Kent and North Kent and everywhere in bits of Kent, really, area. I suppose I better say thank you to my co-host, Mr. Marvis Martin White.
Thank you, Paul.
Who's been moaning his way through the show about my birthday barbecue at the weekend and the fact that he doesn't want to come anymore.
Have I told you? I'd forgotten it. I can't make it.
Oh dear, what a shame, never mind. But thank you so much for listening to the Business Bunker Show once again here on channelradio.co.uk. We will be back with another show next Tuesday. My guest next Tuesday is Mr. Giles Brandreth, which will be lovely. And we also have another great lineup of guests on the show. But for the moment, thank you so much for listening to the Business Bunker Show. We'll be back with you next week. See you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.